Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 153 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you. How are you, young lady?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What have you been up to this week?
Ooh, a bit of gardening.
Gardening, just mostly gardening.
I'm going to be knocking some trees down and putting a greenhouse up.
That's a bit exciting.
Yes, might be a bit too late for this year, but still.
I just dread to think what sort of state you're going to end up in there, to be honest. But there we go, that's you and what you do. Right, coming up on the show this week, we have music from Blue Angel. Now, they have a brand new song out, and they have a video which features Jeremy Williams, who we were talking to a few weeks ago. So we'll be finding out all about that a little bit later on.
And that's a lovely name as well, isn't it? Blue Angel.
It is. Sounds great. Louise Stokes joining us on the phone, having a chat about some of her forthcoming work. We're also talking to Adam from Unite Computing, catching up on what's going on with him. But first of all, we join a man who's in Manchester, I believe. Richard Wall. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm really well. I've just heard that intro jingle to your podcast. Did you have that last time I was on?
I'm sure we did. Yes, we've had that for 3 years now. Yeah.
Every week.
Oh, fab. Is that you singing, Jason?
It's not. No. Yeah, I only wish I could sing that well. But there we go. So what's going on in the wild world of comedy? As I think you're still billing yourself as Wolverhampton's cultural attaché to the north.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm still represented up here in the north for Manchester, which is, it's lively up here.
Last week it must have been quite weird. I know it's been over a week now since the Manchester City won the Premier League. But, I mean, that was probably quite a treat being in the city and seeing 50% depressed, the other elated.
Yeah, a treat. I mean, it depends what you class as a treat. I mean, Manchester's been taken over by idiots for about a week now. And a lot, I mean, I like football, and I'm glad that they've won. But having seen what happens when one team wins a league title, I hope to God we don't win the European Championships this summer. it's an absolute nightmare. There was a lovely thing where I was sat the day City won the title on Sunday. I was sat in Piccadilly Gardens in Manchester, and a little old lady came and sat next to me on a bench, and all the City fans were walking through. And Piccadilly Gardens is a big central area in Manchester where there's lots of pigeons. And I thought she was like that old lady out of Home Alone 2 feeds all the birds. And I assumed in a little bag that she had lots of bird seed. And then I realised it wasn't bird seed. You remember those little paper caps you had as a kid that you threw on the floor and they
exploded? Yeah.
She had a bag full of them.
Oh, no.
And was smiling really happily, waited till a few City fans came past and threw them at their feet and started swearing at them, going, "Shut up, you can't sing!" And getting her own, clearly a United fan. So it's been lively, you know, it's been fun.
What else has been going on in your world of comedy? You've been touring up around the country very much.
Yeah, I've been getting about. I've started emceeing regularly a couple of gigs in Yorkshire, one in Doncaster and one in Sheffield, in theatre gigs. And that's always nice because you've got people who've come out on a Saturday night and they're paid to be in a theatre. So they behave themselves a lot better and it's a lot more fun.
They do say that, actually, as a comedian. You start off in like the really, not rough clubs, but you start off in the smaller clubs where people don't really want to listen to what you're saying. And then as you work your way up, you get people actually coming that want to see you.
People who paid for a babysitter. I mean, I'm still keeping it real and hanging out in a few dives, you know. I played a place called Middleton recently, which anyone who's been to North Manchester will realise isn't sort of, it's not the Apollo, you know. there was a man on the front row who had a big gash on his face because he tried to swing off the chandeliers in the pub and it fell on his face.
Oh, God.
And he was, I think, 59 years old.
It's an interesting learning experience for everybody, though, that sort of thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. It took him until he was nearly 60 to learn not to climb on furniture. So, you know.
I bet you get a lot of your material from just observing people, though.
I think it has to be. I mean, essentially, what happens is most people go around, they see something funny happen, and they go, "Oh, that's funny, I'll tell my mates in the pub, maybe." And then, as a comedian, you go around and you see something funny happen, and it's almost like a commodity. You have to write it down straight away. I've got a little app on my phone, because I'm one of those people who uses iPhones. And I've got an app called Evernote where I'll write down anything that happens that's funny immediately.
Yeah. Does that spoil the moment, though? Because I know...
I think it just gives it an extra edge where I think, "Oh, brilliant, something terrible's happened. I can use that."
Does this cause a problem in the family, though, when you start featuring them and your close friends and they come along to a gig and suddenly you're highlighting their worst moments?
I mean, I try to be nice about it. I mean, what I've done, I've kind of because my dad isn't particularly a funny person, and I would prefer it if he were, and he'd lots of hilarious things. So if I ever mention my dad on stage, it's usually kind of semi-fictitious. What's happened is there's somebody who something unfortunate or funny has happened to. And I thought, well, actually, if I say it's about them. So, for instance, I've got a mate who's a bit overweight, and he got really upset the other day. He said he was being discriminated against. And I said, well, who's discriminated against? He said, Pringles. And I said, what do you mean Pringles? You mean the crisps? He said, yes. I said, why? He said, he can't put his hand in the tube anymore. And I thought it was lovely. I'd love to tell the joke if it really happened. But because he's my friend, if I go on stage and say, my friend's really fat, isn't that hilarious? And certain people in the audience are going to go, well, A, you'll want to talk, and B, how dare you? So if I say it's about my dad, it's a little bit kind of more approachable for
you're
people.
Allowed to say things about your dad.
Yeah, you're allowed to say the mickey out your dad. Now, even though my dad's kind of kept in trim, I tend to use him as a target and a butt of jokes that he's really not at fault for. So.
And he's all right with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't asked him yet, but
he knows your career could hopefully pay for the care home you'll put him in at some point.
Well, exactly. You know, that's the reason that my middle name on the birth certificate says pension.
So, gigs on the way. What have you got apart from the regulars? And is it all on your website?
You know what? I need to update my website, but my website has now got a clip of me. Finally, I've put
doing what? Is when you got caught on CCTV stealing from Tesco's again?
Yes, that one from the Manchester riots. Just, you know, they've not caught me yet. it's just a sort of 3-minute show reel of a few of my gags that I've picked up from audio and picture recordings. And there'll be one of me as well from last Sunday's gig at the Frog and Bucket, which is going up. So you'll get to see me comparing a big comedy club, which is nice. If anybody's interested, I mean, I suppose my mum will visit.
She'll like that a lot, won't she?
Well, she will. She can show it around the office. Yeah, you know, she works for the council, so they've got nothing better to do.
Send it on a global email. That'll get everybody watching.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to start on a global email. That'd be about as famous as I've ever been.
That's sweet. And what do you wear for your comparing? Have you got a special comparing style outfit?
I'm not loud. I tend to be quite smart. I started off when I was just out of university, so I dressed like I'd just got out of bed. And then recently I've decided that I'm 27 now, I'm mature, so I've decided to wear a black shirt and nice white trainers and smart jeans.
White trainers and a black shirt, that is not smart.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm rocking the look. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put a picture of me in my comparing gear on richwall.co.uk. And your listeners can visit that and then
make
tell me how smart I am or not. I'll put a picture on Twitter at @richjwall. You see how I'm subtly trying to.
We would have let you do all of that anyway, but you feel better for the fact you thought you got it in there by stealth.
Oh no! I thought it'd sound better if I just dropped it casually into conversation.
It's very subtle.
So yeah, I'll let your listeners decide whether I'm
Yeah, is that website hot or not still going? I mean, you could put yourself on there and see what your percentage worked out as.
That'd be great. I mean, what a brilliant foolproof way to raise my self-esteem, I'm sure.
It doesn't show your height, does it?
No. No, thank God. I'll stand next to something that makes you look big in comparison.
On a
Jason,
box.
Hang on. Am I not taller than you, Jason?
I'm 5'9".
Oh, no, you're not that tall.
You're not that tall, are you, Jason?
No, actually 5'10", but I always claim I'm 5'9", so everyone goes, no, you're not, are you? And I go, no, actually, I'm taller than that. You're right. But
I'll be honest, you're a DJ. I've only ever seen you sitting down.
That's what he does most of the time.
I'm safer sat down. That means I'm less likely to cause damage or injury by knocking things over. I could be that man with a chandelier. That's all I'm saying.
But you wear smart shoes, though, I must admit.
Yeah, and they're still toe-capped. In case you tread on me, they are still toe-capped, so we'll be okay. Without so much stealth, give us the website and everything again so people can follow you, tweet at you, and avoid you where necessary.
Okay, it's richwall.co.uk, which is nice and simple. And if you can go on there, and if it's not been updated, you can go onto Twitter and go at @richjwall. You can go, oi, at @richjwall, update your bloody website, because we want to know where you're going. And that'll prompt me, that'll be really helpful, and that'll be like interactive.
So people need to tell you that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you... Yeah.
I'm getting another phone call.
And it's proving to be popular.
Yeah, can I reject that? Right, okay, sorry.
Who was it?
It was a guy called Rajiv Sharma, who used to be board one in my school chess team, because And we were like, you know, board one and two rivals at chess. So he's probably calling up for an old grudge match or something.
I never saw you as a chess player, to be fair.
No, he never did either. That's why he was board one.
I almost thought for a minute he was going to put us on hold and go and have a chat to him.
We could have made a group conversation.
A three-way conference.
Call. If you want a three-way, that's fine. we can have a conference call. Talk about chess.
Let's not. Well, there we are. Right, Rich. Lovely to speak to you as ever, and we will catch up with you again in the very near future.
But, I'm sure you will.
And you mentioned your residences and your bit of hosting and comparing. But give us the full details of those two venues and what night of the month that's on.
Great, okay. So the gigs that I do regularly, you can come to the Magnet Pub in Stockport. It's at alasinstockport.co.uk.
That's very clever, yes.
And we gig in Stockport on the first and third Thursday of the month. And then on regular Saturdays in Doncaster and Sheffield, you can Google ABCOM, ABBCOM, Sheffield, and there are listings for all the gigs I do in Yorkshire there. And if not, just come on Twitter and say, hello, what are you doing? And I'll tell you.
And you might even try doing a gig somewhere near them.
I might even go home at some point. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It could.
Wolverhampton promoters, I'm here. Hello.
I think it's just about to disappear. You made a terrible noise then, sir.
Oh dear! Oh God! Fair enough.
I think the Wolverhampton promoters blocked you out immediately as you tried to get their attention.
Okay, I'll get off then. Right,
you disappear into the. Yeah. You ring your man about your chess match, and we'll be sorted. Okay.
All right. I'll speak to you soon, Jason.
Cheers.
Bye.
Right, let's take our... keep going. Yeah, he's gone there. Let's take our first track from our featured band this week. They are Blue Angel, and this is One More Down to Go.
You from hello, just one more down to go. No.
One more down to go from Blue Angel, and we take a call now. He's joining us on the line, Jason Newton from the band. Hello, sir.
Hello, how you been?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right.
Now, this is the third single to be taken from your forthcoming album, Envy of Angels. That's out in September. And
that's right.
That itself is released on the 9th of July.
That's right, yes.
So give us a bit more on the history of the band.
Me and Bella have been together for about 3 years or so. We used to be in an acoustic band before that, called Blame Jack, and then we got together in a studio and thought we'd try out some electronic stuff. I've always had some laptops around, and I thought I'd give it a go, and the first track we did was 43 Days, and which is really good. It worked out really well for us. It was quite different for us both. But we had a really good time, really enjoyed working together, and we're really happy with the results in the end.
Well, we'll take a listen to 43 Days up next. But how long has it taken then to pull the whole album together then? Because is it, what, a full 10, 11 tracks?
It's going to be, at the moment, we've confirmed 11 tracks. It's possibly going to be 13 or 14. We're just finishing off a few bits at the moment. We've kind of, the album has been kind of around for about 3 years, I suppose. And we've finally got the things going in the last 6 months, and it's going to be really a good day when it comes out finally.
But you're trying to do some interesting new innovation, because I've seen the video to the brand new single, and that's where Jeremy Williams and the guy who put us in touch with you comes in, because we've spoken to him about his photography, and it's a bit of a fun take, loads of characters that he's put together for you and put into a bit of a montage.
Yes. We've known Jeremy for a while, the photographer, and we always liked his work. And it seemed to be a natural development, really. It's been quite different to the videos we've had done previously, but the single is quite different to the previous one, so it seemed like a natural thing to do, really. And I'm hoping that, you know, the feedback we'll get from people will be really good. So we'll see how things work out.
Yeah, so it is there on YouTube. You can actually watch it, should you so desire. Have you got your own YouTube channel, then, showing all of your previous videos?
We do, yes. It's all up there at the moment. So then you can have a look at it on the Facebook page, MySpace. We've got it all there.
So what we're looking for on there is mostly Blue Angel music, and that's
right.
That's the link that you need to find the audio and the pictures.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yes.
It's a lovely name. Where did you come across that name for a band?
Blue Angel.
Yeah.
Marlene Dietrich. The film that she did in German, Blauer Engel, I suppose, in German. It's a 1920s film. And I always liked the feel of the film, and I always liked the sound of the name. And it always stuck with me, really.
Mm.
So much so that we ended up using the word in the album title as well.
And where do you think you're going to go next? Is there going to be several albums to come in the coming weeks and months?
I really hope
years?
So, yeah. I really hope so. The feedback for the single so far has been really good. The album's generally going to be a lot more downbeat, but the way things are going, who knows what the next albums are going to bring. It's going to be really exciting. And we're rehearsing at the moment for some gigs towards the end of the year. Things are really good at the moment.
Now, we say the new single's not out until the 9th of July, and then I think 24th of September for the album itself. But is your other music already available on iTunes if people want to buy that?
Yeah, we've got 43 Days and Beautiful Day on Spotify and on iTunes at the moment. And One More Down to Go will be out in July, obviously.
Well, we will take 43 Days now. Give us a bit of the story behind this song.
It was basically, I used to work in Islington in North London. And there was a story in the local newspaper about a guy who was sitting on the bus with his girlfriend on a Friday night. And through, you know, all kinds of reasons, basically, he ended up getting stabbed and he died, sadly. And it just struck me as a really sad thing to have happened on such a negative thing that people do every day. And the lyric is all about that feeling of sadness, such an amazing city that we have. And it's kind of, the lyric is around that. And it's quite a downbeat feel, obviously, but inevitably, I always try and include a bit of optimism and hope there as well.
Well, fingers crossed we're feeling that by the end of the song. We'll take a listen to that one now and say thank you very much, Jason Newton, for joining us.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Getting on the bus with screaming children.
43 days from Blue Angel. Now we go back to the phones and talk to a gentleman who we spoke to back in January when an award had been given in his name. Adam Bradford, hello, sir.
Hi there.
Now, Unite Computer's still going strong and doing your stuff, I trust?
It is, yeah. It's going really well, actually, working with the BBC, Google. So things are going quite big.
How did you find it sort of develop? Is it word of mouth now that's doing the business for you?
It is, yeah. I think it's the easiest way to market. I hate being all kind of showy about what I do. I like people to find out about it by the success it has. So it's been word of mouth, really. I've had some great contacts come in, like Mohammed from The Apprentice, who I'll speak to in a bit. But things have gone quite high, yeah.
So, I mean, how does it work then for you at the moment? You've got your business. It's starting to grow. I mean, what sort of turnover you've managed to reach at the moment?
It's going well. We're looking at six figures within the year, hoping to get there. I've dealt with a little into investments for young people as well. I'm really keen on supporting them to achieve their business goals because they don't always get the chance in education. So various different ways of getting a return, but I'm still doing that. Still working with Peter Jones and Levi. And apart from that, I'm kind of running a bit of an international tour, going over to Paris to run an enterprise boot camp, going to the States to lecture in some universities and doing some mentoring out in India. So
very
I'm
busy.
Everywhere.
With your background as well, it must be really interesting, some of the stories and the angle that you can bring to us. Give us a bit of a recap on how you came to find yourself in the position you're in.
Well, I kind of started in school. I had a really bad time. The head teacher was an absolute, it felt like bullying. And I really wanted to break out and do my own thing. I got involved in an enterprise competition. We won 10K worth of prizes in doing that, and that got me really interested. So through my A-levels and thinking about what I wanted to do, I thought, I'm going to forget the traditional route, and I'm going to try it, see how it works. So I went along to the Peter Jones Academy, took every opportunity going, and kind of faced everything head on. So from there, I've just been constantly on the lookout for opportunities and business and just kept growing naturally. So all started from there.
With the talks that you do when you're going abroad, how is that received? Because, you know, some Brit, basically you're still fairly young. So if I say some young Brit kid coming over and telling them, giving them a motivational speech, but telling them the way to do things, it must be a bit of a surprise to some of the people you're talking to.
It's actually quite hard. People think it might just be like talking to them, but not everybody's convinced. I mean, there's a lot of people I come across who are like, well, why are you running a business at age 19? Nobody aged 19 can do that yet. And it throws you off massively, but I just have to keep going. And really, once you tell them about the things you've done and the way you approach it, I don't think it's so much about what you achieve. Well, it is, but it's about the way that you do it. So if you show them that you've got a really positive approach, that's the kind of things I'm trying to pick up on. Because youth of today are so negative and they feel kind of pushed out by the media and things like that, that all comes into it too. So I'm trying to give them the empowerment to get up and do something.
When you're working with people and making contact as well, it's about your attitude and the impression that you give. And certainly, I mean, talking to you now and when we've spoken to you before, you don't sound like, you know, a 19-year-old kid. You're actually a 19-year-old businessman. The age isn't important. It's about the experience, the passion, the drive that you bring to everything you do.
Sure, yeah. Couldn't agree more, really.
Now, you've been working with Mohammed Awali, who's also on the line with us. Mohammed, hello, sir.
Yeah, hello, sir, to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, give us a bit of your background, because you've got businesses, you've been on telly, part of the BBC's Young Apprentice series. So tell us a bit about that one.
Yeah, I was one of the candidates on BBC hit show Young Apprentice, and I was selected from, I think it was about 30,000 young people that applied for a process. And I was really, you know, really honoured to be selected for a programme. And then after the process, I think things have been rocketing for me. And then all the businesses that I'm working in and all the ventures I'm doing really becoming successful and shaped together, you know, working and connecting with people like Adam and that, we share the same passion for helping young people like I do as well, because I'm one of the UK Youth Parliament representatives for my borough of Enfield, and also represent the UK Youth Parliament. And I'm also involved in the Young Labour Party, so I'm really, you know, passionate about helping young people and giving them a platform where they can flourish and become successful.
And it's a case of believing in somebody who's come up with an idea as well, because I suppose you needed that to allow you to get to where you've got to and to do the work that you do.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about, you know, giving young people the motivation that they need to become successful, showing them that they can become and they can achieve. And it's not all about, as Adam said, all of the negative perceptions that we get in the media. And what I try to do is break down and, you know, show politicians with my meetings in Houses of Parliament and that, and show them that, you know, young people at the end of the day are normal people, and they just want the belief that adults give them. And if we can give them that belief and the support, and people like me and Adam go up to them and we talk to them and give them talks and connect with them and put them on a personal level that they can achieve. And, you know, as a young person myself, I've always been trying to make a change through, you know, my work in business, my work in politics, all the things I do. And, you know, it was really a privilege when things like when I achieved the National Achievement Award from ALC. And I got selected from, I think it was 300,000 students. And I got the award for my attributes in business and academic world. So it was really an honor to receive such prestigious award. Mm. And from there, I've been motivated myself to become more successful and to make a change in the world, really.
How difficult have you found it, you know, from a young age and getting to where you are now, to make adults, I suppose, and people older than yourself understand what you want to do and what your business ideas are? Have you found it difficult to get people to listen?
I guess is if you have belief in yourself, then people will believe you. If you are not confident, no one will feel confident in you. And it's all about, I think, if you show confidence within yourself, that the array of energy and confidence will bounce back and people understand that you're really passionate about helping young people. And what I really saw is things like, you know, when I go to meetings with the Youth Parliament, I will see, for example, one of the first things I saw, there'll be, example, young people who have a talent, they can sing, but they don't have the services, the connections for them to be allowed to become successful. So what I did was I've listened to politicians say they're going to do that, they're going to do that, but they really didn't deliver what they said, full of, you know, hot air. So I thought to myself and I said to myself, what can I do to get those young people listened to give them a voice, to get them heard and for them to become successful? So what I did with my idea, which initially wasn't a business idea, was all about my passion for helping young people, it developed into an idea, a business idea, and then obviously connected with my other business mate, Oscar Mehmet. And then what we really did is we aimed to find how can we help these young people, and I thought of an online social media network, Singers Network, which is called, enables artists to be heard and promoted online, socially, and within the music industry. And it's through our aims is to promote artists through several methods, including but not limited to new media, radio, TV exposure. And we have, you know, connection with 450 independent record labels, respectively. So it's all about, you know, if you show people that you've got a passion, that passion will pay off at the end of the day, and it really helps. If you're passionate in certain, that business will be more likely to become successful. Mm. And, you know, the new venture that I got with Adam now, also my other business partner, is basically about connecting with young people, and so young people come together and they can socialize and interact in an environment and in a community where they can prosper and, you know, use the tools of the online media. And it's basically a place where they can connect with like-minded people and share their passions and share their connections.
Well,
which what I found with Facebook and with Twitter, you can't really do that, and you're always mixing the same circle. And what we do is aim to break that circle for young people to not feel intimidated, because what I've seen is through different groups of young people, some are very motivated, some are not. So what they do is they get motivated, they get peer pressure on them, and they say, okay, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. But what would actually help them is they can connect with like-minded people. For example, if they're business-minded, they can connect with business-minded friends. If they're politically-minded, they can connect with politically-minded people. If they're really into their sports and they want to become an athlete, they can connect with athletes. So we want to, me and Adam and my other business partner, we want to create a community, a hub, a pool for young people to become successful and people to be heard. And we want, you know, young, and also be a part of a media news corporation where we deliver the news on a regular basis. The youth, because what we found also is that a lot of youth don't listen to the news, they don't know what's happening, and they need to hear the news and see what's happening in the economic climate, what's happening in the world today, so they really, you know, get the speed to what's happening in our society. So we just really want to revolutionize the way that people use the internet and the way people think of the world, really.
How long have you been working on this? How old are you now?
I'm 17 at the moment. I'm studying for 5 A-levels at college at the moment, politics, law, economic, psychology, ICT, and what I found was kind of hard to balance everything at the same time, but I try and give it all the best I can to try and become successful at the end of the day, because, you know, I want to become either a politician or a, you know, self-made businessman at the end of the day, and I was trying to push myself to become successful, and just what you really got to do, I think.
Well, you certainly seem to have the passion and drive to be able to do that. And Adam, obviously, you're still on the line with us. So you two guys, you're working together now. And where can people find out more about the work that you're doing, whether it be the youth who are listening now or maybe parents who want to push their kids in the direction of actually having the drive and the understanding of business? Where can they go to find out what you're offering?
Me and Adam, we're going to be working on a a network soon. It's going to be published very, very soon. And, you know, we've already been to places, been to meetings, connecting with very, very powerful business people. Me and Adam went to a business conference, and, you know, the likes of Richard Branson got very, very inspired of the work we're doing and encouraged us that we can make a change, and of things we're doing are possible, and really liked our idea. So things that are giving us the passion and the drive to become successful. And hopefully we're going to have the site up and running very soon. And we're also working on a series of episodes of the life of entrepreneurs and how they feel and how they're constantly facing obstacles in their way and how they can overcome that. So yeah, it should be very exciting, really.
Yeah, I think it's really important to add as well that the way that we do it is we don't want to obliterate everything which is going on. So we kind of put ourselves beside the best things, like the business conferences. We did some work last week with the BBC. So we went down to some schools and inspired students. And we met up with people like Jamal Edwards, who's a big power in like youth media, to kind of penetrate the market, really, but getting the youth involved at the same time, because we really want to take them with us on this journey.
Well, good luck to both of you. I suppose the best place to find out more at the moment would be to follow your individual Twitter feeds, and the launch will no doubt be announced on there. Mohammed, what's your Twitter address?
Yeah, as you can see, if everyone wants to find out what I'm doing, my Twitter account is MAHAMEDAWALE.
My Twitter feed is EntreLightEntrepreneur, ENTRE underscore Adam.
Easy to get hold of you. Follow you both online. Good luck for the future. Many, many years in business ahead of you. May they all be successful ones. I think with the sort of passion and drive that we've heard from you both tonight, it is going to be success, success, success all the way.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Right, let's take another tune from Blue Angel. This time, it's Beautiful Day.
I saw the sun come out, you weren't there. Whatever happened to us, you don't care. I wish I was somebody you could love. Whatever I do, it won't be enough.
Beautiful Day from Blue Angel. And now we go to the phones where we find Louise Stokes. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
Now, it's been a while since we and I last spoke to you, and you've got quite a lot of work that's been taking place since, including Comedy Night coming up on the 1st of June.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little more about that one.
Well, that's a comedy night that we've been running for about a year and a half now. Myself and Nadeem Chugtai, who we form Ludimi Productions Theatre Company, and it's at the church in Hockley the first Friday of every month. And that's been sort of growing really in popularity, and we get some really good comedians on, and new comedians and more established comedians, and it's turning into a really nice night.
And we had a little chat with you about that last time you were on.
Yeah.
And it's still going, which is a good sign, isn't it, in this day and age? Because getting people to go out and spend their money, it's difficult unless you're really offering good quality product.
Well, that's right, yeah, you know, and it's all about, you know, sort of like everybody who's involved trying to sort of, you know, drum up some business and get people in as well. So, and it's about really having that staying power, because it can take a while to establish clubs like that. And I think sometimes people sort of give up after a few months because it is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just being persistent with it, really. Some months we don't get as big audiences as we'd like, but we keep going with it. And what we're doing is having a lot of comedians actually coming in. We're booked up for the next couple of months with comedians asking us if they can come and perform.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had to sort of go out looking for people to book. So that's a really good sign. And it's just a really nice night where we encourage new acts to come and try stuff out, and then invite them back and see them develop, which is a really nice part of the job as well.
I think that's the best sort of advertisement, isn't it, word of mouth? Because it's a good way to build up the business, really.
Well, yeah. People sort of like saying that something is enjoyable and good quality is always a better advertisement than all the posters and sort of like, you know, we can say it's good as much as we like, but it's better than other people are sort of saying that they've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And the comedians who come, and they always really enjoy the night and they always want to come back, which is really good.
Mm.
Now, on a more serious side of things, though, and probably something that Adam Bradford had identified with as we were talking about the bullying he suffered at school a little bit earlier on, is a Ludimi collaboration with Blue Orange Theatre. And you're actually researching adult bullying with a view to putting on a play at the moment. So tell us a bit more about that one, too.
Right, well, it's a collaboration between Ludimi and Blue Orange Theatre, like you say, and also another theatre company called Letters to Eric, which is run by a director called Tracy Street. And it just came really from, I've done quite a bit of work and done a few shows at Blue Orange, and it came from just general conversations about adult bullying and the fact that there's a lot in the press and a lot of research and a lot of government figures about childhood bullying, but adult bullying still is to a dismaying degree so often not taken so seriously and often not even acknowledged or recognised as something that happens, and I think people often don't realise that, you know, the very devastating effects it has on people's lives and their families. And we, in these discussions, we just thought it would be something really worth looking into and seeing if we could get some interest, where we run some drama and creative writing workshops. And what we do is we're going to offer it to anybody who's had any experience of bullying. So actually, if somebody is willing to come forward and say that they have bullied or they are bullying someone, we'd like to hear their story. If people think that adult bullying doesn't exist, we'd like to hear their opinions. And also, obviously, people who have been bullied, we're inviting them to come and share their stories in a safe, supportive, creative environment. And from that, eventually, it'll be sort of in phases. The workshop will be phase one, and then we'll develop some creative pieces, and then eventually, hopefully, we will develop a full-length production and performance, which we'll put on at Blue Orange and tour.
Mm-hmm.
But we created a page on Facebook, and within hours of it going up, we just had so much interest and people saying they'd like to be involved. So it's been really inspiring, you know, that people are so interested in the subject and wanting to share their stories.
Because bullying itself, I mean, it's So it's done for probably various reasons, whether it be to feed the ego of somebody who wants to just feel better than everybody else by putting them down. It could well be, I know one of my friends is going through a situation at the moment whereby she's someone who's trying to, in effect, bully her out of their job because they want to change you know, the lineup somewhere. And it's not always done in the correct way. It's you know, it can be bullying tactics that are used to intimidate people. And equally, though, somebody may not realise they're bullying. I know I'm sometimes a little overly jovial with people, and it could easily be perceived as bullying, even though it isn't intended as such.
I think, yeah, and that's sort of what we, all the aspects we want to look at, that sometimes people aren't aware. They might think that they're just being a firm manager, when actually what they are doing is employing bullying tactics. There are other people where it's very deliberate. I mean, the bullying I suffered when I was a nurse, which is, you know, part one of my reasons for my passion in the subject, was very planned, very deliberate, you know, sort of a lot of psychological intimidation, threats, and the bullies did know exactly what they were doing, and it's looking at all those different aspects. Corporate bullying is often a very deliberate attempt to achieve a goal. It's just trying to, you know, explore it. It's not a simple issue. It's very complex.
Hmm. So a few years ago, I probably would have thought that, you know, bullying in adults wouldn't have existed. But I know in one of my previous job roles, I was a manager, and I was asked by my manager to give one of my staff the worst possible jobs ever because they wanted her to leave, and rather than sack her, they wanted her to hand in a notice. And, you know, until that point, I thought, well, I mean, obviously I didn't do it, but I mean, I thought, I didn't even think that something like that could happen and could exist.
I think that's the thing. Some of the behaviours are so shocking that actually when you start relating them yourself, you think they don't sound believable. Mm. You know, they're so, they are so extreme, and like that lead to the sort of whole thing of, yeah, like constructive dismissal, where people are bullied out of their jobs. I mean, one interesting comment we had from somebody on the page was saying, I never believed adult bullying existed, and then I moved to a job where I was bullied for 7 months. She lasted in the job 7 months and left, and she said otherwise it would have had a devastating effect on her. And that and that was someone who didn't think it, you know, because it's, people often have a view that people, or children or adults who are bullied are weak or easy targets or what, and actually anybody can bully, and anybody can be bullied, and often very strong, you know, together, balanced people get bullied to the point of like a breakdown, because it's sort of something that if you're targeted by a bully, then they've got lots of things in place that cause a lot of, you know, stress and distress.
I mean, you can only imagine how awful it must be, because obviously you're at work more than you're at home, really. So if it's something that's happening at work, it's like...
Yeah, hours and hours of constant stress, which, you know, it's very bad for your physical health as well as your mental health.
Will the play that you're doing have some sort of conclusion, like some ways of perhaps trying to get out of that situation? Or?
Well, until we do the workshops, we don't really know. I mean, we've had all sorts of discussions about where it might lead, but we don't really know where it will lead. What I think what we don't want is to produce false hope and conclusions, because I know from my own experience, and probably most of the people I know have been bullied, it isn't a case of there being easy solutions or resolutions. So we don't want to kind of like give a false ending. But again, you don't want to leave people feeling as much despair at the end of watching it.
Yeah.
So I think it's what we do want is it for to be honest and genuine and truthful, and using real stories to produce fiction. Obviously, we're not going to expose people and use people's experiences in a documentary way, but it's getting those true experiences. And hopefully we will find positives. I know from my own experience, although a lot of the effects still stay with me, if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be doing what I do now, which is this kind of thing, and I'm an actor, I'm a writer, I'm a stand-up comedian. I would never have done that. Mm-hmm. So it's fine, you know, finding those, hopefully from people, sort of positives from something very traumatic. Mm-hmm. But we really won't know until we start the workshops and start to for people to share their stories.
Well, on that positive note and the fact that you have moved into comedy, you're also doing a national comedy competition, Funny's Funny, in the next few weeks. So that should be a little more of the lighter side of your work back again.
That's right, yeah. And even that, I mean, I've used sort of experiences that I had to create characters and poetry and comedy from that, which again is like a positive, and that's quite empowering. So, seeing not the funny side of it, but, seeing the positive side. So I've registered and entered that, and I'm just waiting to hear when the dates are. And it's actually a woman's comedy. It's like all female comedy competition, that particular one. So,
well, good luck with that.
Thank
and say good luck with all the other work that you're doing. Give us the website so people can find out more and see when the work with Blue Orange Theatre is going to come along as well.
Ludimi's website is www.ludimi.co.uk, Ludwmy. Blue Orange website, but
Google,
if you just Google Blue Orange, Google Blue Orange Theatre and it comes up, and the website's there, so there'll be details.
There can't be many people selling actually blue oranges out there, so you'll find them
It'll
first.
Come at the top of the page, I'm sure, yeah.
Louise, as ever, lovely to speak to you.
And you, Jason.
Keep us posted, and once you've got everything together with the that play, we will talk again, I'm sure, okay?
Brilliant, lovely, okay, yes, thanks a lot.
Bye for now.
Thanks, bye.
And so we sign off for another week, Zoe.
It's gone quick, hasn't it, Jason?
It has. Episode 153 off, and we will be away. We'll see you for episode 154 next week. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.